that we open our hearts and spirits to God. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. If you get a chance, please sign the attendance pad at the end of the aisle. We'll start by in our praises. Some of the readings will be in red hymnals at 393. So please join me. Good morning. Welcome to worship and celebration of God's love. It's quite a week, yes. For some good, for others difficult.
Thank you.
God's love is cast lavishly for you.
Surely we know.
Come, be healed, and live in that love.
Lord,
help us to open to your healing word and love for our lives. Amen. Please stand if you're able and join me in our prayer. Giver of love and mercy, you know us so well. We thank you for your presence in our lives, even when we don't recognize it. This day we have gathered, coming from a week of unexpected happenings and events which have surprised us. Make us ready to become stronger witnesses for your love as we receive your word and find our spirits and lives healed. Amen. Remain standing. Please join in the red hymnals, 537, O Spirit of the Living God.
Thank you. may be seated, and I don't see any children here this morning, so.
All right. Our first reading today will be in Romans chapter 8, 1 through 11. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with the sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to you mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So we have our music gifts. Thank you for that. Our next reading is Matthew 13, 1 through 9, and then we'll break to 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside the sea. Such a great crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. While the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of the soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some of 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let everyone who with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When everyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that is sown in the heart, that is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet such a person has no root, but endures only a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on the account of the word, that people immediately fall away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of the wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruits and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30.
Thank you. A little advertisement. In the entryway this morning, there are two posters. Ella Drescher made those for the Day of Faith at McFarland yesterday, and there's more than the two, but there's two of them that are out there, and you're invited to look at them. You know the ministries of the church here, but she did a very nice job highlighting who we are and our mission. So please take an opportunity to look at those. A reading of the newspaper this past week tells us that an affiliate of ISIS, one of the leaders, was killed in an airstrike. In the paper this week, we read about the traveling ban for people coming to the United States. There were 3 dead and 12 injured in Honolulu in an apartment fire. There were bone fragments found in hot dogs, so they have been recalled. There's an American who was beat to death, and they're planning the funeral. An oil pipeline in Texas ruptured and spilled 1,200 barrels of crude oil. Our world is broken. It slaps us in the face. Every time we pick up a newspaper, or each time we listen or watch the news, it slaps us in the face when we see Facebook, because they know what we're interested in now, and they can pop those in on us as well, as though they were friends. People in the world face personal pain due to violence and disaster, some of our own making, some more natural. We have physical pain in our bodies. It's the way our body responds to the choices that we have made, or because we were in the wrong place at the wrong time when someone else was making poor choices. We have pain and brokenness in our relationships. I officiated at a wedding, a marriage yesterday of a young man who graduated with my son. And it was a beautiful celebration. It was, as I was planning this with this young couple, they wanted everyone who was there to recognize the love that they shared, because there's never been a love like this. And they wanted to share it with all of those whom they loved. And it was wonderful. As I was sitting at the table following the ceremony, I became aware of a single woman within the same age range as this young couple. And she longs to be in a committed relationship, but has not found someone. There was a young couple there, not married, have been living together and have two children, and they have recently split because of struggles in that relationship. Another young woman has been in a fairly long-term relationship and wants to be married and has found the person whom she wants to marry. But he has been married in the past, and he's never going to marry again. That's not part of his life's plan. There was a woman there whose husband of 63 years died within the past 3 or 4 months, and she's grieving his passing. And then we know that there were couples, some long-term marriages, that are really struggling, and they put on a wonderful face for everyone who is there. Now, we don't expect that they're not going to do that. But for those who know, there's brokenness there. The spirit within us is broken. And we know that dysfunction begets dysfunction unless there is intervention. This is the condition of the world. If you read the scripture for last week, we remember that Paul said, "The thing that I know is wrong to do is the very thing I want to do. It's a cause and effect of human sin. The law tells me, and it's wrong, and something in me makes me want to do it. Wretched man that I am, who can free me from the body of sin and death?" Sin is difficult. And we know Paul's answer. Jesus is the one who can free us. In love for us, and with the power to heal, God incarnates the purpose and the fulfillment of the law in the body of Jesus, and he wipes condemnation out, delivering us in a way that nothing else can. We're reminded that the love of God is written on our hearts, so we know how to live. It's simple. Our relationship with Christ makes choosing what is right, living according to the Spirit, automatic. And that's easier said than done. We know that there is a tension that remains between spirit and flesh. And when Paul is speaking about spirit and flesh here, he's not talking about our flesh. Paul is talking about the spirit, which is God. And the flesh for him is the world. My translation doesn't use the word flesh. If you remember, as Kevin read it, my translation uses selfishness. Instead of the world, it's selfishness. We hear the scripture and make a jump, and we know that our physical being is impacted by our spiritual condition. But Paul is speaking of the body of our families, the body of the human family, and the body of the physical earth, and pushing the way of the world, what that means, pushing what the way of selfishness means. Paul is speaking about the greed, the malice, the unbridled hatred, and the fear that we have and live with because of the differences in who we are, the differences in our culture, the differences in our the color of our skin, the differences of our faith. This world continually invites us to discriminate, to hate, because of our gender, because of our sexual orientation, because of our race, our ethnicity, our religion, any of those isms that lead us to mistrust or fate, our fear or hate, are those things about which Paul was speaking. And then the word of Isaiah came into my mind, that word when God is speaking and he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts," to the world. "Neither are my ways your ways." The way of the world is not God's way, because it's not God's way to destroy or hate or fear. It's not God's way to put others down so that we can be lifted up. We know that it's not God's way if it is harmful to others. And so we know that those things lead to death of the body and the soul. Those things lead to the death of hope. Those things lead to the death of justice. And that's where we are. That's where some of us are this morning. That's where many are who don't know what the inside of a sanctuary looks like. We are left hopeless when we don't know the love of God. We are left alone when we don't know that there is a way out. We are left feeling abandoned when we don't know that there is another way, a better way, God's way, a life-giving way. That is why Paul was so passionate about taking this message to the Gentile world, because they did not know who Jesus was, just as he had not known until he met Jesus on the road. And that's why Paul could speak with such a fervor, such conviction, when he said, "Therefore, there is no condemnation. There is no guilt." He was writing from experience because he had been made free. We know that even in our freedom, we are left with weakness. By our own strength, by the strength of the powers outside of us. And so Paul's answer, and the answer for the Christian church for 2,000 years, has been to set our minds on the Spirit which came following Christ. Setting our mind on the Spirit is to allow the Spirit to work within us, letting God's strength take over when we are too weak. And we've heard people say in some of their experiences, God, I can't do this. I don't have the strength. Give me what I need. Paul wanted people to know where to go, to whom they should go, when they had no strength of their own. Life in the Spirit liberates us, frees us from hatred, frees us to love. It frees us to focus on those gifts of God, compassion and fairness, unity. The Spirit of God through Christ heals our broken spirits and empowers us to be healed so that we can heal our broken world. It is wonderful, isn't it, to know that we are set free. What a gift to know that we can let go of garbage that is behind us. What a wonderful gift to know that we can be healed. Paul tells us the source of our hope. Paul tells us how to receive that and to share it with those who have none. For many people in our world, these are tough times. And we have the good news, as it has so freely been given to us, let us so freely give it away. Amen. We have an opportunity to share the gifts of God. I invite the ushers to come forward. Thank you. us pray together. We are a blessed people. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for all the blessings you have poured into our lives. Receive our gifts that they may become seeds of hope and love. Amen. You may be seated. Let me share some information with you. Phyllis Grochon has been moved to a Grace in Fitchburg. She's on palliative care. Her body just did not want to come around and wake up following her surgery. So we want to keep them in our family, their family in our prayers. Sandy Wenzel is doing well. Good to see you this morning. And Dennis Ronke. Okay. Dennis has had some tests for a heart condition, and he's in good enough shape that they're just going to kind of watch you. Accurate? Yeah, okay. Jerry Feeney, Ann's husband, had surgery earlier in the week. It was an overnight surgery. He's home and he's recovering. He will. I don't know if he will be receiving treatment following that. Are there other situations that we want to lift? As Marty plays, I invite you to sing softly the words. Lord, we enter into a time of silent prayer, time when we open ourselves to you and lift our cares and concerns, our joys. Gracious God, we are in awe of you. We are in awe of your wonderful creation. We are in awe of your amazing love, which is poured out on us through Jesus Christ. Your word speaks to us in powerful ways. Your life, the life that you give us in Christ, gives meaning and purpose to our lives. We've received this wonderful gift. Help us to share it. Be with those who are weighed down by the burdens of their problems. Be with those who are weighed down right now by grief and sorrow. Be with those whose lives are torn apart by warring, by the lack of peace,
whether that be in the world and physical warring or the spiritual warring that goes on in this life. We pray for rebirth, O God. We pray that your Holy Spirit within us would strengthen us and empower us and heal us in all the ways that we need that. You have given us hope. Help us to take hold of that and help us to give it away. Move us for the sake of your world and others in it, that all might know the liberty of the children of God. We ask that you hear us as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Yes, Jeff.
Might the hope that you just proclaimed, might I suggest that we sing the fourth verse of the last hymn at the end, so we leave here shouting rather than moaning?
Yes, okay. We are singing the fourth.
Okay,
yeah, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3, and then 4 at the end. That was a typo. Okay. So, number 333, I'm going to sing when the Spirit says sing.
Gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. I'm gonna sing when the Spirit says sing. Spirit of the Lord. Gonna pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm gonna pray when the Spirit says pray. I'm gonna pray when the Spirit says pray. And obey the Spirit of the Lord. I'm gonna moan when the Spirit says moan. I'm gonna moan when the Spirit says moan.
Holy God, send us by your Spirit to be a people of grace and truth. May God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit fit us for every good work to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.